in the third shir, the Agada. Something a little by the on the words Lamantiskor. Lamantiskor is Yom Seiskamir Tzitzrayim. He brings here from Rav Steinman, Shlita, Uvda Almaran Hagrach Kanievsky, Rav Chaim. So that when Rav Chaim was a bacher, he learned in Yeshiva of Lomja in Petach Tekva. So they called him from the draft board. He had to come into Lishkadet Gius. And so when he was there, they asked him, he said he learns in yeshiva, so they asked him, well, what street is your yeshiva on? So he says, I don't know. So you don't know the street your yeshiva on? He says, no. He says, well, how do you get there? He says, well, I take the bus, and then I get off on the stop, next to the, the street next to yeshiva. He goes, what street is that? He says, I don't know. So this well known, similarly for that, Rav Chaim didn't know the names of the streets, in Bnei Brak. And even though he went, used to go daily to the Kol Chazanish back and forth, he didn't know the streets. He was going on the streets he passed by, he didn't know. So they asked him once, how could it be for tens of years you go on the street and you don't know the names of the street? So he says, Chavalach nis l'rosh shem shel rechov b'mkom zev shalach nis od mishnah. Well, no waste to put in your head another name of a street. They have a Mishnah instead of the street. Okay. Now the Arba Banim. Chachama Omer. Ma'edos v'chuchum mishpatim asher tzivah Hashem Elokeinu eschem. So in the Torah, the question of the Chacham is in Parshas Veschanan, in Perek Vav Dvarim. Pasukaf, and it says over there, Ki ishalcha bincha machar lemor ma'edo. So there, the Torah says, when your son will ask you tomorrow, machar, what are these edus and chukim, etc. So they ask, why does it say machar? What do you mean? We ask you today. Why is it? You're trying to ask you today. We say we have to say machar. We ask you tomorrow. What's a tomorrow? So it brings from Rabbi Doran Davi Gold. Says there's a ma'isa. It was a boy that grew up in a very modern home, and he wanted very much to learn in yeshiva. So he begged his parents, please let me learn in yeshiva. So they said, okay, fine. They said, okay. So they took him to Or Yisrael in Petach Tikva from the Rashivas or Yaakov Naiman. And so Yaakov took him in, sent him down, and then gave him a fair, tested him, see if he knows. So he saw that, the boy doesn't really have the backgrounds. And so he said, very apologetically, and it was a smile on his face, very sorry, but we can't accept you because, you're not on the level, you're not going to, blend in with the other boys. You're not holding there. You learn Shonim, Achronim, that, you're just not holding there. You apologize. So all of a sudden, the kids start burst out crying. He was crying. And so he didn't get into yeshiva. And all of a sudden, Rav Naiman says, turns to his mother with him and says, okay, your son's accepted to yeshiva. So she said, what happened? A minute ago you said he won't blend in, he can't, he's not on the level. And then all of a sudden, so he says, well, I see a boy like this, that he cries so bitterly because he has such a hachuka, such a desire to learn Torah. He says, he has the basis for being successful in Torah, and I'm sure he will be. So, two, the Torah says over here as well. That's why it says, the Chacham is why? Ki shalcha bincha machar. We said, why machar? If your kid is asking you today, says something, so it's okay, the kid's a one-time thing, you don't necessarily show that he has a desire and he's going to be successful in Torah, one-time thing, he said. But if he repeats and he asks you today and he asks you tomorrow again, it shows he has this chukka, he has the desire, so, that's a Chacham. How come he doesn't just ask you today? One time, fluke. No, day after day. So, Kishacha Machar Lemor. That shows you that he's a Chacham. It makes an interesting Hi'ara. With the question of the Rasha, right? Rasha Ma'omer. So, in the Torah, that's in Shmos Yud Beis Kavav, it says over there, Vayaki Yomru Aleichem Beneichem. So, it points out, Rav Yosef Nehemia Kurnitzer, he says that it says in the plural, right? Ve'ayaki yamru aleichem b'neichem. That's in the plural. Whereas the Sheila of the Chacham, and truth is, the Tam and Einu Lideisha also, they're in the singular. For example, the Chacham, Vayaki Yishalcha Bincha. Didn't say Binchem, it says Bincha. So why is it that the Rasha is in the plural, Binechem, and the Chacham and the others are Bincha, singular? So, since you can answer this with the well-known Adage, saying that Hamachala midabeket, Habriyut eina midabeket, meaning that disease is contagious, health is not. And you got sick, and other people, and next them they get sick. But you have a few sick people. You say, okay, I'll put a healthy person there, and they'll make them, and they'll become healthy. No, health isn't contagious, but sickness is contagious. So Meila says, so too over here. It's with Ruchnis the same thing. Right, one person's rasha happens, he mainly influences other people. Right, he's very rarely you find just one rasha. But the rasha is a group, the chevra, you know, they get together. Right, the one person, the rasha affects others, it's contagious. Whereas the chacham is not, unfortunately, contagious. The guy's a chacham, he's, oh yeah, and always have a group of chachamim because there is one, no, unfortunately, not so contagious. Meila, that answers the question. When it comes to the Rasha, it's in plural because you have one Rasha, you have a bunch of Rishayim. They're usually a group, you know, because it's contagious. Whereas the Chacham, etc., it's only in the singular because, unfortunately, very often they're by themselves. Rasha Ma'omera Ma'avoda Zoslechem. The Rasha says, what is this avoda? So, Noi Gershol is a nice mashal here to explain this. He says, imagine a person is hired to take these two bags of diamonds up 10 flights of stairs. The elevator broke and they need to bring up the diamonds to this 10th floor. And so they hire this guy here, we'll pay you $20, slip up these two bags of diamonds to the 10th floor. So he says, okay, fine. So he puts it on one shoulder, the other shoulder, he starts going up the thing. He goes up one flight, goes two, and he says, he can't take it. His back's killing him. They're very heavy, and he's giving him a sore back and sore shoulders, and he's going schwitzing, and he goes another. After two or three flights, he says, forget it. That's it. I can't go any further. I just can't do it. It's impossible, and I'm sorry, and he wants to quit. So, okay. So he says, what two words will help him go up to the top? He can go up even 20 flights. Yeah, two words are Hayalomim Shalcha. We tell him you can keep the diamonds. All of a sudden he can go up to the temple. Mele, he says same thing over here. What's the problem with the Rasha? The Rasha says Ma'avoda Hazos, right? Oh, it's hard. It's a voda. It's mitzvahs. Ma'avoda Hazos. Why is he saying that? Lachem. Ma'avodasos lachem. Because he looks as he doesn't relate to it. It's not speaking to him. Mele, since the Avos Hashem is not personal to him, Mele, it's hard. If he would feel it's a personal connection to the Torah, then Mele, it wouldn't be a problem, be easy to do. Similarly, on this, Ma'avodasos lachem, brings from Rabbi Rachmiel Kram, says that very often the Rasha, what do they say? They say, you know, what if you do this avoda? Meaning, do so much. It's enough for this to do something symbolic. And the ikur is that you're, as they say, to be dati balev. You know, that's the ikur, to have, be a good Jew, be religious in the heart. You don't have to do all these things. Avoda zosachem. Not to be dati in the heart. So it brings a nice umashul. Says there was once on they have here Yom HaZikaron, right, to remember the fallen soldiers, whatever. So they have a siren. Okay, so once one day the Yom HaZikaron, the siren goes off, and one of the people on the street there just keeps walking. He doesn't stand still, just walks. So this big tough guy, you know, sees him and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" So he says, "Excuse me, what's wrong?" He says, "What are you doing? What are you walking for?" says, what are you talking about? He says, what are you walking in the middle of the siren? He says, walking? He says, why are you saying I'm walking? I'm not walking. He says, what do you mean you're not walking? I see you're walking. He says, walk? Oh, my feet are going, I'm walking over there. I said, that's dumb. But the ikkar is that I'm standing in my heart. So now, what would they say about that? He says, what are you standing in your heart? You got to do it, standing in your heart. There's no such thing. You got to stand. You can't. He says, when it comes to Yizom Zikaron, you got to stand. You can't just be not enough in your heart. You got to actually stand. You got to bring the flowers to the gravesite, whatever the case might be. Those things you have to do. When it comes to Yiddish guy, it's enough to be dati in the heart. He says, that's the essence of a Rasha. What he wants to do, he does. What he doesn't want to do, he doesn't do. It says similarly, imagine, he says in Mitzrayim, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, Chevra, everybody's got to take the blood of the Korban Pesach and you got to put it on your doorpost and on the thing. Says, some guy says, why am I going to put on doorposts? Come on, I just bought these new doorposts and fancy wood. And I'm going to put blood on it. Forget it. What am I going to do? He says, Moshe, no, I'm sorry, you got to do it. It's very important. Then says, who has to do these things, whatever. And so what happened? And then Hashem saw that the houses that had the door, and he passed over them. The house that didn't have the blood on the door, he didn't pass over, and the people died and so. So Mele, that's what we say to the Rasha. Ilu Hayasham lo ya nigal. You wouldn't have been redeemed because you would have said, "Put blood on the door. What to do these things for?" And Ilu Hayasham lo ya nigal. He wouldn't have put the door blood on the door. But you wouldn't have been redeemed. Says we say to the due to the Rosh Hakeyat Shinav ve'emorlo. So we knock his teeth, whatever, and we say to him Bavur Zeh, etc. So he says Al Derech Tzachus, tongue in cheek. It says in the Torah for the Gabi the Rasha, it says Vamartem Zevech Pesachu. And this is what you tell the Rasha. So it's interesting because that's in the Torah. That's what we answer the Rasha. Zevech Pesachu. Hashem explained about the Korban Pesach, whatever. Whereas here in the Haggadah, it doesn't say that. And we say Bavur Zeh Asah Hashem Nibetzeitz Mitzrayim, which is really what is the same thing in the Haggadah. Also, we say to the Einu De'Elisho, same thing. Bavur Zeh Asah Hashem Nibetzeitz Mitzrayim. That's what we say to the Einu De'Elisho. That's what we say also to the Rasha. So yeah, it's interesting. Why the difference? In the Torah it tells us Ramartim Zevech Pesachu. In the Haggadah we don't mention that. Instead, we give the same answers. We give the Sheni de Elisha. So he says, it used to be that who's a Rasha? Some guy's learned. He went off to Shiral of Shas and Poskim, whatever. But he also, went secular studies, maybe whatever. And he became a Nappi Chorus or whatever. So he goes, that's a real Rasha, So that's who the Torah was referring to. Right, somebody who's learned it, whatever, and he knows what to ask and how to ask and what's the thing and how to think. But okay, but he's a Rasha. So concerning him, what do we answer? As it says in the Torah, "V'martim zevach pesach." You can explain to him. He says, "Listen, there's zevach pesach, korban pesach, whatever." You can talk to this guy. He says, "But already in the time of the Haggadah, right, in our days for sure, these." Quote unquote, up because they're not really. I mean, they don't. What do they know? They don't know anything. They learned all the Torah and they have questions. There's some meaning. They're like the Shane, the Elisha. They don't know what to ask. How do they? In order to, you have to learn in order to know what to ask. They didn't learn. They don't know. Therefore, they don't know what to ask. So that's what the Haggadah is referring to. When the Rasha said, "What do you do?" You tell him not Zevach Pesach. You can't go into philosophical discussion with a guy who doesn't know anything. So, unlike what it says in the Torah, therefore you have to answer him like the Eshenu or the Elisha, because that's basically what he is. He's a Rashi, he doesn't know these days, he doesn't know what he's asking, Bechla. Therefore, you give him the same answer as the Eshenu or the Elisha. So, from Rachmiel Kram, also he says, brings from the Chida, that once a clean shaven Yid comes into the Chida, and he looks at those days, a yid didn't, supposed to shave. So he sees this guy in shave, so he's looking at him like, who are you? So he said to the chida, he says, listen, I was born without a beard, so I continue that way. I want to continue my life as I was born. I was born without a beard, and I want to continue living like that. So the chida says to him, now I understand the answer that we say to the Ben Rasha, right? The Torah tells us to knock out his teeth. Why? He says that just like you're born without any teeth, the Ben should live like that and stay without any teeth. Okay. It says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is chishev et haketz. Right, Baruch Shem Raftachato LeYisrael Baruch Hu Shekodesh Baruch Hu Chishav Esakets Lasos Kamash Amar LaAvram Avinu, and in at the Bris Bein Abisarim, as it says, VeYomer LaAvram Yodu Atedai Shano Gigir Yezar Achav Yerzul Lehem, and you'll serve them and be afflicted for 400 years. VeGamet the Goyah Sheri Yavodu Dan Anochi, and then I'm going to judge them, and Yacharichein you're going to go out your chush gadol. Okay, so. It was interesting perish of the chida over here. Pasuk says in Shmos Yud Beis Mem, "Umosha bnei Israel asher yashru b'Mitzrayim 30 shana v'arba miyot shana." So really, the galus was really 430 years. Right? Rashi explains it started from the latest Yitzchak, that's 400 years, and then an extra 30 years go back earlier to the Bris Bein Abisarim. So all together, from here when Hashem spoke to Avraham, the Bris Bein Abisarim till the end, till they got out of Egypt, it was altogether 430 years. Okay. However, he said the amount of time that the actual, that was like the galus, if per se, but the actual physical, the Midrash says that they really suffered of the Shibu, that was 86 years in Mitzrayim. That was the real suffering when they were tortured or whatever, that was for 86 years. The Yalkut Shimoni says that. Okay, so he says, so how were they able to get such a lessening? There's supposed to be 430 years of Shibud of a thing, and in the end, really, they only had 86 years of actual Shibud. So where did that come from? So the Chida says in his Haggadah Simcha Sarego that as a zecher to the that we're saved from the Shibud of Mitzrayim, we drink Arba Kosos, right? And so he says, so why do we have, what are these Arba Kosos? They're connected to the Arba Lashonos Sel Gula. But he says, but Lamaisa, why the Arba Kosos? We were redeemed once. It wasn't like we got out four different times. We got out once. So why four Lashonos? And therefore the Arba Kosos. So he explains. So he says, Bnei Yisrael, Lamaisa, they didn't have schuyos to go out of Mitzrayim earlier. Why? Because they were of the Avodah Zarah. It says by the Yamrei, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. So they were of the Avodah Zarah. So Lamaisa, they really weren't worthy of coming out when they did. Therefore, really, they should have had the full term of 430 years, okay. And the rem is, he says, is in the pasuk Vayar Yisrael es hayad hagdola asher asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim. Now the yad hagdola, that's what they should have had. They should have had a yad hagdola of shibud. Really, now what does that mean? What's the yad hagdola? So he says the yad, of course, has five fingers, okay, and each finger is the yad hagdola of Hashem, yad hagdola asher asa Hashem. So it's the etzba elokim, right? So each finger is like an etzba elokim of the yad hagdola. Okay, now an etzba in gematria, excuse me, elokim in gematria, etzba elokim, elokim in gematria is 86. Okay, and there, and we have five fingers, so 5 times 86 is 430. So that's the 430 years that they should have had. Really, the shibud of 430 years connected the yad hagdola, which is the five fingers of Elohim, and the 80, Elohim is 86 times five is 430. That's what they should have had. Now we can understand why we drink four kosos. Why? Because kos in gematria is also 86. So what happens? We were supposed to have really 5 times 86, right? 430 years of Shibut. But we'll see in a second why. But they were able to reduce it. How much did they reduce it? How much did we really have Shibut? We said only 86. So we had 5 times 86 what they should have had. But in the end, they only had one of those 86s. So how many 86s do we have left that they were taken away? 4. That's the 4 kosos. The kos is 86. The 4 kosos of Keneged, the 4 86s that they were taken away, and they're only left with one of the 86s. And why were they taken? Were they lessened? These? So Chazal say because they even though they're in Avodah Zarah, but there were certain things that they did keep, and Kenegdam that they were each one took away one of these 86 years. And what are they? They didn't change their name, Shmam. They didn't change their language, Lashonam, and their clothing. And also they kept Tznius, Mesiris Nefesh, brings down. So those are the four things. Can they get each one? They were able to take down the 86 years of Shibud, and they were left with only one, this 186, and that's what they're. So he points out that, just think, that 86 that they were left with, it was very terrible, all the affliction and shechting their sons and Paro 150, we said yesterday, 150 kids he shechted every morning and an evening and bathed in their blood and all these terrible, terrible inuyim. And that was because the one, that's the, for 86 years, because that's the one, didn't have anything connected to that. So you could imagine, if they would have only had one other thing that they did, one other mitzvah, that could have saved that last 86. They only had 4 things they did. Would have done 5 things, would have saved even now the last of Shibud, the power of a mitzvah, keeping change, not changing name, etc. There was one other thing that would have saved even the terrible affliction for the last 86. Okay. So it brings here beautiful mahalach, and it brings like four questions, and then Al Sheikh Hakosh answers everything up very nicely. It's going on this whole thing with the Bris Ben Abitsari. Okay, so he has 4 questions. So first question is, Hashem tells Avraham, I'm just letting you know, Avraham, that your seed, it's going to come out from you. They're going to be slaves and be afflicted, and land is not theirs, for 400 years. Now, that's a pretty serious punishment, And so he asks, why? What did they do wrong? What did the Jewish people do that they terrible that they ended up have to be in Mitzrayim? After in Mitzrayim we said they did Avodah Zarah, that's after they were there already being afflicted and whatever. So, but until then, very fine Yidden. What happened? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, the Shvatim, all good Yidden. So why did they deserve to have the 400 years of affliction? They're put in Mitzrayim. Why? Well, what did they do so terrible? Question number one. Question number two. He says very interesting. Yara says that Hashem told Avraham, right, to get a vavadum vinu osamar bami yochena. He asks a very pasha. He says, why didn't Avram say anything? Put up a fight and say, Hashem, come on, give them a break. And we say, no, Avram doesn't do that. Yes, he does. Where do we see he does that? Stom! These Rishayim, you're Gemurim. Hashem says, okay, we're sorry. No, if there's a 50 tzaddikim in a year, maybe you're going to, and he handles and, and here, Hashem tells Avram, 400 years, again, these innocent people, we said, we don't know anything wrong, 400 years is going to be afflicted if you knew what but Avram says, okay. No, he doesn't say anything. Doesn't comment, doesn't try to reduce the punishment, thing, whatever, nothing. Okay. It's question number two. Question number three, he says. It says, and then Hashem says to him, V'acharechein yitzu b'rchush gadol. Okay, shkoyach. Thank you so much. And he says, Lamashal, imagine if somebody comes up, he says, here, this is your little kid here? Yeah. He says, okay, I'm going to smash his head with this rod, okay? But don't worry, I'm going to give you $1,000 after. You say, oh yeah? Okay, go ahead. And well, what kind of a, puce is that? I'm going to 400 years back. Don't worry, they're going to have money. They're going to go out with some money. What kind of appeasement is that? The fourth question is not related directly to this, to the psukim here, but in general, he says it's speaking about the avos, etc. It's really strange that we see that our avos were like afflicted. You know, he says, Avram Avinu. Here he is the beloved one of Hashem. He suffered and he didn't have any children for so many years. And also Sarah, of course, for so many years they didn't have any children. And other people, you know, they're much less righteous than them. Oh, right away, child, you know, first, just married, first year, ready to have a child, whatever. And here, Avram and Sarah, these big tzaddikim, so long they couldn't have any children. And doesn't end there. Yitzchak Avinu also suffered a lot till he had children. And also his wife Rivka, you know, she was barren finally until she had a child, and then when she was pregnant, he struggled through Rabbi Nibir Kirba, she went through difficult pregnancy and the whole thing, whatever. Like, well what's, you know, why? Why did he deserve all this? Okay. So those are the four questions. And the Al-Sheikh says something which answers all these things up very nicely. He says the following. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah to a nation that was Kadosh V'Tahor, right? A holy, clear, you know, nation that was Mamash Tahor. And what happened? But the Adam HaRishon, after the sin, so he put this, because of the sin, it put this called Zuama, like infection, if it were, that the Nachash put into mankind. And therefore, for generation after generation, they carried with them this zuama, this confection that the Nachash put into Adam HaRishon. Now, in order to get the Torah, which is a Torah which is kulo eish ruchani, so whatever, and it's very pure, it isn't mixed. You can't give the Torah, which is so pure, to people that are infected, right, with the zuama. So therefore, what did Hashem have to do? He had to go through a purification process to purify the people that are going to get the Torah so they could receive it. They can't receive a Torah unless they're pure. So therefore, that's how things got started with Avraham, right? Avraham was going to be the line that was going to get the Torah. So therefore, he purified Avraham Avinu. Therefore, he didn't all this is nisyonis he went through, and you know, not able to have children, and his other nisyonis, whatever, and he only got his child after he was old, and he was batla, you know, and no taiva anymore, whatever, in order that his child should be more pure. And even then, his first child wasn't completely, but it was Yishmael, and only after that, that took away some of the impurity, you know, a little impurity that was left, until that finally Yitzchak, you know. And even then, Yitzchak had to continue this, you know, the purification process. And he also, it was difficult at birth, the child with Rivka, whatever, and then when he did, who did he have? Esav and Yaakov. So Esav had to take away absorb the impurity that he leftover impurity as well, and that went to Esav until finally, which took from his mother, she came from Mishpacha Rishayim, whatever. So Esav had to take that impurity away from his mother until Yaakov came out pure, and after that came the Shvatim, and now everything is good, and everything is pure. So now Shesov says, okay, now as far as that goes, one major part of the purification process is done, and it's still not over yet. Still, the people that come from Yaakov, the Shvatim, whatever, they have to go down to Mitzrayim, and they have to once again go through the Kura Barzel, as they call it, a further purification of being enslaved in Mitzrayim. Okay? And then Hashem promised that after all that is through and finished, right? He promised Avram, then they're going to get Eretz Yisrael. He promised them in Bris Bisarim, which is a corridor to the world to come. The Rechush Gadol. Okay, so now, Mimele, they can get the Rechush Gadol, which is the Torah. Because we said the Torah has to be given only to those that are pure. Now everything is understood. All the questions are answered. Okay, we ask, why did they have to suffer, 400 years? What did they do wrong? Whatever. Comes out, it's not a punishment. You're right, they're fine, they're good. But it was not as a punishment, it was a purification process, which is because of the Nachash. They had to just go through a purification, not as a punishment. So Melech says that answers also why Avram didn't daven. Right? He says, oh, Hashem, why didn't he daven? I don't daven. Hashem wanted to do a purification here, over here. So don't daven, don't do the purification. He says, Mashal is not daver dom. He says, the father takes his son, who's not well, brings him to the hospital or whatever, and he says, okay, he has to have to purify his blood. We have to take out his blood, a transfusion, right? Take out his blood, which isn't good, and give him fresh blood. Father can say, no, please don't do that, whatever. No, okay, you got to do it. Why? It's a purification. You know, but if a son, if a father has a son that did something wrong, and he goes to the courts, and the judge says, okay, the punishment is I'm going to give the son has to do this and this and this. So then the father said, no, please, come on, give him a break, and don't we'll fight to get the lesson of the thing. Why? Because that's not a purification, that's a punishment. So that's the difference. When it came to Stom. Right, when Hashem wanted to punish the Stomim, so then Avraham Avinu, punish me now, please lessen it. Come on, Hashem, you know you want to reduce the punishment, you reduce. But here, when he heard that Hashem wants to purify Klal Yisrael and bring him to Mitzrayim as part of the end of the purification process to get the Torah, so then he doesn't put up a fight. Why put up a fight? Like, you need a purification. You need a purification. You need a transfusion. You don't fight. You know, I don't want. Don't give him the transfusion. Mela answers that as well, and as we said, the rechush gadol is that we said, oh, what kind of a thing is that? You hit the thing, hit the kid, and say, I'll give you $1,000. No, that's if it was a punishment. But here, Hashem said, I'm not hitting them, I'm saying, I'm purifying them to be able to receive this tremendous thing, the Torah. So therefore, Avram didn't put up a fight. Okay. Okay, that's basically it for today, but... something Agav, I saw an amazing story he brings earlier on here, wasn't connected directly to what we wanted to say, but we have a couple minutes now. I'll just tell you, it's unbelievable. Maisa. There was this Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, right? He's the Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron, Yeshiva in Gula, right, years ago. So it was a story about his wife, right? So his wife was a survivor of the Holocaust. So how did she survive? What happened was she somehow was able, she ran away. And she escaped wherever she was, I don't remember. And she was running through this field, okay, all by herself, and to try to run away from the Nazis. She's running. And but she doesn't know where she's running to, you know, just this open field, whatever. She's running. And she sees towards the end of the field there's a one house, a huge house, boded, like by itself, just like one house. And so she was hoping, okay, maybe it's my salvation, maybe these people will have rahmanis on me, they'll save me or whatever. So she goes, okay, so she's running around, she finally gets her, she's banging on the door, and you know, someone says, yeah, who is it? He goes, please save me, you know, she's screaming, save me. So this guy opens the door, it's like big tall guy, looks at her, and he says, you're Jewish. So, you know, yeah. Modal Ashma, you know, yeah. So, who was this guy? He was one of the top Nazi officers. Okay, like, of all the people the houses had to knock on, you know, he was one of the top Nazis. And so he's looking at her, and he starts laughing. He says, you know, you want me to save you? He says, you know, you ran into the trap. I mean, I'm going to do away with you in a second. You know, you're Jewish, you know, after you ran for nothing. Because in a second now, you're goodbye. So, but then he stops for a second. He says to her, wait a second. I don't understand something. She says, what? He says, how did you make it to my front door? She says, why? He says, well, because look, my whole yard is filled with vicious dogs, these Rottweilers or whatever, right? These dogs that anybody comes near, they tear them from limb to limb. They think, how did you get to my door without being totally ripped apart from all these dogs in my yard? So she didn't like, you know, she was such a friend, she didn't even realize the dogs, whatever. She just ran to the door, whatever. And she's, I don't know, whatever. So the Nazis, I think, he says, so he started thinking, maybe this woman's like, she knows, rich witchcraft or whatever. He started, you know, getting worried a little bit. And he started thinking, and he says, you know what? He says, I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. He says, you can stay over here tonight, okay? And tomorrow morning, you're going to walk down the path again. Walk down the path of my house where all the wild, you know, the killer dogs are. And if you get killed, hey, who cares, you know? But if you don't, if you survive, so I promise I'll protect you till the end of the war. Because he thought to me, she's witch god, whatever, and I just wanted to get, you know, start off with her, you know. So he says, fine, I'll think. So, fine, he gave her a place to sleep that night, and you can imagine, she said, the whole night, like nightmares, you know, she just like pictured herself walking with these dogs and being teared from limb, you know, it's like, she nightmares the whole night, whatever. And the next morning, sure enough, I says, come here, whatever, takes her to the front door, and all the people in the house are looking through the window, they're all, you know, watching this exciting thing, how she's going to be ripped apart or whatever. And the Nazi says, okay, now walk down the path. And she says, okay, she figured, you know, this is the end of her life, but she'll go bekavod, you know, instead of running and this and that. She says, no, I'm going to go respectfully, leave this world, you know, like a respectable yid. And she starts walking down the path, and just, you know, with her head up, and just walking more step by step, and the dogs didn't move. They didn't move, and they just stood there, and she just walked to the end of the path, and he says, fine, and he kept his word, and he protected her to the end of the war. Rabbi Cheskel's son and his wife. Okay.